Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hi everyone, welcome back. It's another Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well. Very quickly, Matius Botura, our newest patron over at Patreon, thank you so much for your support. If you would like to join the group chat, which is essentially turned into a kamikaze group, Andy, where we just have people flying aeroplanes into one another for the slightest of differences of opinion, we can tone it down a little bit, yeah? Patreon.com/RumblePress. If you would like to throw your hat into the ring and join the Royal Rumble, as it is turned into. And of course, thank you to all of our viewers, supporters, all of those who have followed us on social media at IS Roma Press for the YouTube/video version. We greatly appreciate it. Like, subscribe, all of that YouTube stuff. And for the first time since, 3 months, we have some semblance of calm. I might sound like as if I just smoked some hashish, Andy, but I assure that is not the case. It is simply the weight of the market having been lifted. It's gone. There's no more stories. We don't have to receive comments on the website, comment form submissions from people saying, well, you wrote this one moment, and then 20 minutes later, you wrote something else.
And but I'm still getting asked what the transfer fee for Chris Smalling's exit was, because this apparently is the great mystery that everybody is interested in. So nobody knows. The fee has not been disclosed. Not a single journalist has reported anything. And now in the group chat of the patrons, this has been the vital question, not only of the day, but of the month, because the market, as you know, is closed. So now we have to find a new problem. And the new problem is, did we earn anything from Chris Smalling?
And of course, to that, we have to tell people it doesn't matter because his wages are gone. Do we have to explain that for the umpteenth time?
Umpteenth time.
His wages are gone. That's all that matters.
Yes. 3.8 million euros.
Yes. Amortization for his transfer fee, that has very little impact on the books at this point, or was having little impact.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As we explained, it was. The wages. That, more often than not, for the bigger players, when it comes to Roma in particular, because they have a knack for handing out some of the worst contracts known to man, it's about the wages. So those have a far bigger impact. Before we do that, can we talk about, because to just so everybody else didn't have to do this, I went down the list because, of course, we have to talk about Mats Hummels. We have to talk about as well as the other free transfer who is made official. And we touched upon it slightly in Mario Hermoso. I did the unenviable task of going down the list from the last decade of free transfers. Not pretty, Andy. Not pretty at all.
Give me some of the best names.
Well, how ill are you feeling? Or I should ask, how ill do you want to be? Because some of these names are about as horrifying as one would imagine. They do induce a physical reaction upon hearing the name. And it takes you down. You know, when you reminisce about older times, you usually think about the happy moments, how you wish you could go back to the good old days.
I don't think that is typical of any Roma fan. I think that completely clashes with the history of the club. So go ahead.
The history of the Roma with the free transfers is not good.
You know, just give it to me. You know, it's like Al Pacino and Hit. Give me all you got. So give me all you got.
Let's start out with a real banger. One who, if you know, you know. Okay? Mustafa Sek.
Yeah.
Remember that name?
Yeah, sure.
Oof.
Sure.
Oof. Okay, 2016, 2017.
Yes, exactly. And he actually played in our Europa League campaign that year.
Yes.
Didn't do too badly. So, but that's an, well, yeah, that's a weird
remember,
name.
He was from Lazio.
It was that weird period of time where him and Nura, remember Nura? They were like our two biggest young talents, which tells you all you need to know about about the state that our youth team was in at that time.
Okay. And to anybody, if there is anybody in our, whether it be patron, whether it be a YouTube viewer, if you can tell me without cheating, obviously, because that ruins the fun in it when you whip out your mobile and get the answer in about 2 seconds. If you can tell me, and you know in your heart, where Mustafa Sek is playing in this exact moment, if there was anything that we could offer as far as a lottery, I would give it to them because
is it some weird country, like say, for example, I don't know, Cyprus?
He plays in the Azerbaijani Premier League.
Wow, that's awesome.
Obviously.
That's great.
Obviously. I will have to check my
streaming
package.
I remember people were also sorry when he left. Similarly to when we let go of Capradossi also, because Capradossi made those like 5 appearances.
Before doing his ACL, yeah?
Under Ranieri, yeah, he made those 5 appearances. And then I think he went to Spezia. Where did he go? I don't remember. But
You are right. Yes.
So, okay, we got that. Give me something else.
Okay, here is another blast from the past. I believe you mention this name every so often, but Ivan Marcano.
Mm-hmm, of course.
This is where we... Yes.
That's the weird... That's the funniest because the guy stays at Porto for such a long time, leaves Porto, joins Roma,
and then goes
right back to Porto for a fee, for like 5 million euros, which was insane business. But... that's another one of those names that like sort of like Hector Moreno, you don't really know what to do with it, you know, like like did these guys really play for us? Hector Moreno left after 6 months, Ivan Marcano after 1 year, and the one thing that I remember him being part of that awful, one of the worst defeats I've ever seen Roma play in just the terms of being dominated by a lesser opponent was Bologna. When Bologna completely crushed us 2-0, Santander scored. Then I went to watch that match at the Roma Club in Amsterdam. And despite the fact that everybody was smoking weed in that club, we were not having a good time.
It's Amsterdam.
It was quite miserable. And I remember having to jog back home in the rain, high as hell, to record a post-match podcast with you, John, after that game. That was quite and even Marcano was at the center of one of like the worst defensive actions in that game. So,
well, Santander, I always mention him because I am one of those weirdos who clearly you can tell something is not quite right due to the amount of time I spend on Wikipedia. I looked at his Wikipedia maybe 2 weeks ago. It is, if you just take the raw percentage of goals that he has against Roma, like that singular goal accounts for 12% or something. I mean, the guy, that is what I love. Strikers who somehow do not score goals, can't score goals, but yet somehow carve out their career. The guy's like 35 years of age now, still playing in Serie B, making a decent living. Mind blowing. Absolutely mind blowing. Now, to go on the better side, okay, Pedro and Mkhitaryan, free transfers.
Okay, Mkhitaryan, good. Pedro, bad.
hold on. Pedro in the beginning. Do you remember that goal against Udinese? That thing lives so fresh in my mind.
Pedro gave you hope, and then for some reason he just forgot how to play football. And the guy was basically, you know, he was limping and trampling over his own feet. So...
He was odd too. Remember, he went from like starting to no longer playing. It was very weird. And then obviously Jose Mourinho comes and he just says, let me help you pack those bags.
Yeah.
You can go. I've seen plenty of you.
Yeah, and he leaves, and at Lazio he has a period of time where he's completely reborn.
Yes.
So, and he scores in his first derby against Roma, of course.
Which you knew was going to happen, by the way.
It was going to happen, absolutely. So it was fantastic.
Yeah, now more recent times, obviously, Svilar, Solbakken, Nemanja Matic, Perotti.
Well, Nemanja Matic, Svilar, and Evan Dika are all
deals.
Really good deals. The fact that Nemanja Matic had still 1 year left on his contract, but decided I think he rescinded his contract with Manchester United, was able to leave.
Yes.
Those are really good deals, as we are also in perspective. I mean, nobody was taking Thiago Pinto seriously when he brought this guy from Benfica. Everybody was like looking at this signing as a sort of, you know, favor to Benfica, to Pinto's former club. And yet here we are, and he saved our asses, and he saved our asses also financially, because you didn't have to splash 20 million, 25 million on, say, Monza's Di Gregorio this summer. So,
right. Absolutely. I really went back into the bag for a couple more of these names. And, oh, and by the way, on Svilar, anybody with hair like that, I always have a much better feeling and sense of reassurance. There's just something with the, I mean, he's got luscious hair.
Yeah, very luscious. Yeah, very luscious.
Great head of hair on him. That, at least in my mind, gives you.
Counts for something. Has to count for something.
Correct. I was getting very depraved. I went back very far into the time machine. Stefano Guberti, and you really have to dig.
You're really obsessed with certain names. I just like I know exactly the kind of player you're
You know where
about.
This is going. It's going to do something with the potion, because he got banned a few years, if I am not mistaken, after he left Roma. He was
For the younger pitchers, you have to sort of give the premise of the time that this was, because this is a very specific name for a very specific time at Roma. So.
Well, when he, as those can remember, he came during the infamous 2009-2010 season, which... Listen, so anytime
when
we
were chasing Scudetto glory with Claudio Ranieri.
Yes, with that magical season where, I mean, so much went wrong.
Luca Toni comes in season. For 6 months. He completely gives
so
us incredible hope.
That goal against Inter, show that to my children all the time.
Yeah, I know. Let's go back to Guberti. Let's go back to Guberti. So Guberti, give me the lowdown.
All right, hold on. I have to find the year in which he was banned. Oh, so it was summer 2012. So that probably means he was on the gear at Roma.
Wow, great. Then. That's very memorable.
So he last played in Serie D with Siena. Which, listen, if you're going to end your career, there are worse places to be than Siena.
This is the tourist part of the
far
pod.
Worse places.
Siena is a beautiful city. Siena is a beautiful city. You know, people will know it for the Palio di Siena, where horses die and people die. But it's actually a really beautiful place.
You talk about how beautiful it is, and then that's your preface of it.
Yeah, because people know Siena for Palio di Siena, where people race on horses, and it's a very dangerous because they race along the narrow streets of Siena, and everybody gets killed once in a while. So that's where they know it
once
from.
Once in
they
a
know
while
it.
Is the understatement of the century.
They know it. They know it from Quantum of Solace with the second James Bond movie with Daniel Craig. It opens in Siena. Exactly. People know it from that. But that's also where Guberti ended his incredible career, it turns out.
Yes. And he was brought in. He was supposed to be like this young, you know, highly rated guy. He turned into nothing. Ever since you just brought up very quickly some of the other names, like who did you mention a bit ago?
Nura?
Capradosi.
Capradosi.
It reminded me of Viviani when okay. Roma.
Of course, it reminded you of Viviani. And also of
Hold Crescenzi. On. Here's the. Here. Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. All right. And then we're going to end it after this. This has gone on far longer than I ever would have imagined.
I know.
The following season. Here you go. Hold on. Hold on. Adriano, Fabio Simplicio.
That's a killer combo. That's a, especially in the state that they were in. It's a killer combo.
Well, the weight division, man.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, hey, listen though, Simplicio. And if you see him now, by the way, lovely guy.
Looks like a beach.
Very ball. Polite man.
Looks like a beach.
Phenomenal
ball.
Guy. Phenomenal. Yeah, phenomenal. Guy. I'll never say
ball.
A bad word about him.
Still a beach.
Yeah,
ball.
I'll never say a bad word about him. But listen, man. That tag team in the heavyweight division,
yeah,
Fabio Simplicio and Adriano.
That's WrestleMania. That's Adriano, not Roma. That's WrestleMania. That's that has nothing yes, to do with football. That duo
yes.
has nothing to do with football at that point.
No, the Adriano Roma stuff is it is so meme worthy, meme inducing. That photo of him holding up the shirt, man. There should have been you did not require additional warning beyond.
No, that. You're like you know, like you see that photo and you know, it's like a falling man of the that shows the guy falling from the Twin Towers in 9/11. You see a photo of Adriano, you know exactly what time period we're talking about. You know, like it's a photo that signifies everything about Roma at that point in time. If that's what happens.
You know, it is so funny you say that because I literally said the same thing. I showed Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2 yeah. to my children for the yeah. very first time.
Yeah.
And I was telling to them, hey, listen, you know this is prior to September 11th because you of see course. Them running through the airport.
Yeah.
About half a dozen people with machine guns would be rifling them down because of how suspicious they looked running of through course. The airport like that. That's how you know it was before yeah. September 11th. They woke up only 1 hour before their flight. No.
It doesn't happen.
It would
happen.
Take them
no,
1 hour to get yeah. through the metal detection and yes. the full
and the
body
infamous
scan
American
security.
TSA. Yeah, of course.
yeah. Oh.
But okay. That's what I mean with Adriano. Adriano is the epic. Like that's the if you want to see a free agent signing gone wrong and also a completely meaningless free agent signing, Adriano.
That is the crown
Adriano
jewel.
Is like the biggest. Example of a club that thought they were acquiring a player whose past glory could still give them something, and Adriano had nothing to give. So, long story short, we are here. We got Mario Hermoso. We got Mats Hummels, who hopefully will tell a different story, who hopefully will use this as an opportunity. I think Hummels more than Mario Hermoso. Hermoso is on a 3-year deal. Hummels on a 1-year deal. So, it's pretty clear with Hummels that we'll see how it goes. Like it's really like let's see if it works out. Great, maybe we can work on another deal. If it doesn't work, everybody moves on. But it
listen,
makes sense.
He is not coming here, though. That is where I think the massive difference is.
No, of course, he's coming.
Where it goes wrong with Adriano, you're expecting a superstar. Where it goes
And also, Adriano coming off years of nothing and years of depression and obesity and everything, with Hummels, you're getting a player who just won Best Defender of Champions League, who's been nominated for the Ballon d'Or for his performances for Borussia Dortmund as the leader of the team, a guy who has been phenomenal for them since returning from Bayern Munich. A guy yes. who at 34 still has everything to prove in the sense that he's still hungry. He was upset with the fact that Germany did not call him up for the Euros. So you're not getting someone who's washed, who's done and dusted. You know, this is a guy who's going to come in. Roma will need him in limited capacity, but he can still give guys like Ndika, Gianluca Mancini a run for their money in terms of quality on the pitch. This is the guy. The important thing is to keep in mind the fitness levels of someone like Hummels. The fitness levels, that's something that Roma will have to watch over and make sure that he's doing okay, and that he's match ready, and that you're not sending out an old guy about to get injured. That's something we don't want. We've seen that too many times. John, I know you're a Cleveland fan. John, remember the wonderful example that I remember because specifically at that time I was waiting for you to tweet this out when Andrew Bogut left Golden State Warriors, and you were so happy about Bogut, and you were coming on here on the podcast and you were glowing. You're like, Bogut, he's going to be amazing for us. Remember how many seconds Bogut played for you before?
About 12.
Yeah.
And man, I have to tell you, the second it happened, my jaw hit the floor.
I know, because you were live tweeting back then. You were live tweeting.
When people, I have to tell you, man, there is very few sights worse in sport than watching a guy of that size do something to their ACL, Achilles. Yeah. I have a relatively high pain tolerance. I can view most things, even myself. Anything happens to me, I have a relatively high pain tolerance.
Yeah, yeah.
But my gosh, when I watch a guy who what is he 7 feet, two inches or something? He's a norm, and at that time he was also fairly heavy.
Yeah,
and to watch his Achilles just you pop see the out. Thing snap out from his leg.
Yeah, great. So that's what I'm saying, John. I mean, the anticipation was there. You were getting a player who had just been very important for the Golden State Warriors and for their dynasty. He was a key player for the team. And then he moves to Cleveland. Boom. That's everything goes wrong within 12 seconds. And that you cut him. After like a day or two, you cut him. So
done for the season in a matter of 12 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. And you cut him. So he was released from his contract. We don't want that to happen with Hummus. This is a guy whom I think in a sense, this is a guy who's very much similar to Nemanja Matic in terms of at what point he came in. And we all know how important Nemanja Matic became for Roma. By the time that Nemanja Matic left Roma, everybody was absolutely scared to death of the prospect of not having Matic on the pitch. And I think Hummels can be the equivalent to Matic in the defense. Hummels can be that guy at the back. This is someone who's got such vast experience in all kinds of contexts, both on a national level and a club level. He's been always a leader. No matter where he was, particularly in his last spell with Borussia Dortmund, he was the guy to lead the team. He had mostly a young squad around him. So he was really doing a lot of the heavy lifting, obviously with the great leadership of the coach Terzic, but he was crucial. And I think if he can just bring even 40-50% of that to Roma in this limited capacity of him being, say, the fourth choice defender, great, more than great, fantastic, because we all know how Roma get when those first lines don't play, when the starters are not on the pitch. We know how Roma get. They put their heads down, they relax, they get complacent. We've seen it too many times, you know, these experiments of, okay, let Mancini rest, let this guy rest, let that guy, and let's just put, you know, a guy who hasn't played any minutes, and then the whole team just sags, you know? No, you can't afford that. And I think Hummels is there to prevent that from happening.
Absolutely. In your mind, certainly this has to mean, at least this is the way I view it. Otherwise, I don't think, if you were going to play only four-man defense, I don't think you push for Hummels nearly as hard as they did, because they really amped up just taking it behind the scenes just very quickly. They had talked to him most of the summer. They had been engaged with him for months about a possible move.
Just like any other club, I think. Just like any other club.
Yes. They left their options open, though, to see how the summer evolved. And we saw a lot of late things happen. If you look back at the summer, I mean, really, beyond what Dovbyk and Süle, in those two periods, and then the end, it was relatively quiet. You had Enzo Lafay, he comes in, what, we found out about him in June. Beyond, like, those two distinct short windows of time within the transfer market window, it was relatively quiet. But it really amped up at the end. And Hummels, man, Lazio, Real Sociedad, he had a ton of interest. And it was never about money. I think it was about role and also...
The context.
The context, the role, but also to the ability to go in between wherever he would be playing in Germany. He and his partner, I believe they divorced.
Ex-wife. Yeah, so he wants to be in proximity to Munich where his family is. Sure. And hence, you know, the rejecting offers from MLS to Saudi, not interested in that. I think this also comes from a player who knows he still has a lot to give. We're not getting someone who is getting ready to retire. We're getting someone who wants to be competitive. And wants to be in a context that helps him be competitive, perhaps not to the extent at Borussia Dortmund where really that responsibility was huge. And for a player of his age, you know, it's like when we were putting all of our responsibility on Kolarov. We essentially killed Kolarov.
Yes.
Just because of how brilliant he was for us, we kept relying on him, and then we completely flattened him. And we were unable to read the room, and the room was saying Kolarov is aging. Have some mercy on the poor guy. So Roma didn't listen to that. And I hope that with Hummels, De Rossi will understand sort of the extent to which he can utilize him. And I think it's also important to note that, you know, after Kevin Danso was supposed to arrive, this was a 25-year-old guy. After Kevin Danso, Roma, yes, they get Thiago Giallo as a mercy mission over to have the medicals, but
I'm on a mission of mercy.
Yeah, nobody's convinced of that. So right after, the reaction is we go after experience. Clearly, something that De Rossi thought this team needs in order to balance out the fact that you have a lot of new signings, because John, all in all, Roma have signed 11 players. Okay.
Yes.
If you add to that Angelino, who also made his deal permanent, that's a lot of new players in the squad. In order for that group to stay cohesive, you also need leadership, and leadership cannot only come from the same guys that we think of as leaders. It also needs to come from guys who have played at the highest level, because someone with Hummels' experience or someone with Hermoso's experience in recent years at Atletico, our guys don't have that. They don't. They've never. Most of the leaders that we have on this team have never played with Roma in the Champions League. So only Pellegrini has played with Roma in the Champions League, and barely. So.
Yes.
I think that's something that we need to address. And hence why I wanted this segue to come in full effect right now. The reports of Kostas Manolas, right? And you know that this can't be just a rumor, because Kostas Manolas very conveniently posted like a message, nothing about it was true. But Two nights ago, both Filippo Biafora and Gianluca Di Marzio posted the same report that Roma are having conversations for Kostas Manolas' return. Now, as egregious as that sounds, as awful as Kostas Manolas has been since he left Roma in 2019, basically retiring as a player, because I think his time at Napoli is very unmemorable.
Can you remember a single match of him at Napoli?
I can't even recall
what he looks like in the shirt.
He was more disastrous than anything else at Napoli. Then he leaves, goes to Olympiacos, complete failure. I think his most memorable thing about that is this presentation video that he made with a lion, and there is a behind the scenes video of him just like...
And he gets frightened by it. Yeah,
getting frightened by the line. And then the cherry on top of a shit cake is his latest spell at Salernitana. Another brilliant idea of Walter Sabatini, whom a lot of Roma fans want back at the club. Walter Sabatini.
Well, that's when those marble reds.
Yeah,
I think there might have been some hashish in those things.
In his brain fog, Walter Sabatini has the brilliant idea of saving Salernitana from relegation by calling up Kostas Manolas, who, when he came on, now I wouldn't even go as far as, well, there were some similarities in terms of physique to Adriano, okay? Terrible shape, terrible performances. Salernitana get relegated. Kostas Manolas has been a free agent ever since. It doesn't look like anybody's interested in him. To me, if that was even an idea that Roma entertained, it was just for vibes. Vibes only, for De Rossi to have someone whom he can count on in the locker room. Although I even doubt that, because Manolas doesn't seem like the kind of guy you love having in the locker room. He looks annoying as hell. This is the guy who left a football pitch by pointing to his eye and saying to Spalletti that he had something in his eye and needed to be replaced.
He can't continue.
So that's the kind of guy that for some reason was rumored to go back to Roma in 2024, 5 years after he left.
I have to say, do you remember, just very quickly as an aside, do you remember how much they sold him to Napoli for? At the time,
it was 36 million. Diawara was valued, I think, at 16, something like that. Diawara was valued at 16, and then the rest was cash for him. Crazy, because he was already on his decline. He was already declining.
At 28, he was 28 at the time. 28, and the guy was done.
That's the prime for a center back, and he was done. He really was getting he was getting cooked by just about anybody. And Napoli had this brilliant idea of getting him to work with Koulibaly, and it was a disaster. And as soon as they changed, because they replaced Albiol with Manolas, that's the biggest downgrade you can possibly do. Also in terms of just character and personality, so all these news of the Roma want the personality of Manolas. What personalities? What personality?
Yeah,
my used Kleenex has more personality than Manolas.
The only personality I ever recall of him was when he first arrived, and I remember it so vividly because I was in Rome at the time when he came. He arrives just the day before, because remember, he comes in to replace Mari Panacea, and that whole thing, we remember the saga of that summer. He says he's going to stay, wants a new contract. He was promised a new contract, and then he goes on television and says, "Oh yeah, I'm going. I'm done. Goodbye.
I'm going Bayern Munich.
We know where he
here I am.
Yes, he goes to Bayern Munich." And I only remember because it's a season where they have those awesome red and blue striped shirts that were some of my favorite of modern day.
Arjen Robben and Ribery peak time,
Yes, and we remember what happened in Champions League that year. But anyway, Manolas comes, he arrives, and then the next day he plays in the opening match against Fiorentina, and he plays fantastic. He was incredible. And that is the only personality I can recall of him, other than a few times where somebody scored a goal and he makes a very semi-aggressive yet goofy-looking face.
Yeah, and also...
thing with Spalletti, man, do you remember Spalletti's reaction?
I remember. He was
Manolas is raising his... Spalletti's going... He's trying to understand. You could see him getting animated, very animated with the hands. Yeah. And he's trying to say, what's going on?
Manolas,
without a care in the world...
John, just... But Manolas is the guy who scores... Who scores that goal against Barcelona? He scores that goal. What does he do? He runs under the media section. He doesn't even run. He doesn't run. He doesn't even have the presence of mind and personality to think, well, I'm going to celebrate with the fans under the Curva Sud. No, he runs in front of the most dead place of Stadio Olimpico under the media section. In the craziest moment of Roma's modern history since the Scudetto. So that tells you all you need to know about a guy who, after that, was nothing but a very, very mediocre defender. Most of the time, Fazio was far better than him, which tells the whole story. So Manolas, in this day and age, it's even impossible to just... Maybe just to have him as a mascot on the bench, fine. But to have him playing on the pitch would be a defeat. And I don't think that this particular Roma, even for those reported €450,000 that they were willing to offer him, they would take that on. Roma have been very smart about their business. They have been very smart about their finances. This summer, they've recorded a positive impact on their balance sheet. They've cut their wages as they set out to do. They've cut their wage bill massively. So that's huge. They were not going to waste their time with Manolas in 2024.
No, there was no need to. But still, do you think, or would you prefer, I should say, that Roma shift to three at the back now? Because I think when you have this many central defenders, I mean, not only, if we just want to say on paper, if we just take the names in each department, I mean, the central defender, I would look no further from where you have the most quality. Yeah? So...
But it does. I think also De Rossi has been very fluid in his in the sense that his defense is constantly changing shape during the match,
and even mid match, by the way.
Even recently, we saw Angelino. Yes, theoretically, he's playing at three in the back, but he's not. You know, like it's not how it works. You know, people get hung up on these numbers, and you know, and when I do the live streams, I get these questions. What do you want? Do you prefer the 4-2-3-1 or the 3-4-2-1? Roma under De Rossi have been very fluid. I think De Rossi is still experimenting. He's still trying things out. With Juve, we saw Angelino theoretically start as a center back in at the back with Ndika and Mancini, but we all know that wasn't happening. So
yes,
that doesn't tell the whole tale, you know. And with Hermoso, with Hummels, you add more flexibility to the options that you can rely on. These are guys that will for sure take a lot of the weight off of, say, Gianluca Mancini's shoulders, because this is a guy who's been driving himself into the ground. You know, every time you hear him talk, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm banged up, or oh, I was injured the last 2 weeks, or this or that. Now you don't have that. Now you can have these guys slot in and say, listen, Mancini, get your shit together, or listen, Dika, you know, you leave for, I don't know, AF Con or whatever, we're going to take your place and you will have to fight back to get it.
Right. I mean, realistically, there was no alternative to Mancini, because the one that we thought it would be, once that Ndika became the first choice, it was supposed to be Smalling, and the guy from what, September absent. To March completely was absent. MIA. That yeah. Milan match.
So you had to pray that Diego Llorente can come in, and you had to pray that Cristante can also slot in as a central defender from time to time if needed, which is not something that you want. That's when you have Cristante slotting in as central defender, then you know that you're in a bad spot, as in someone's injured, the results are not going your way, or a coach just got fired, you know. So
yes.
Those are the only times. Now that we're going into this bizarrely structured Europa League, we want to see guys like Hummels, guys like Hermoso lead the team on those occasions, because I think that's when De Rossi can, for example, hope to give someone like Sangare a start, Pizzilli, more playing time there, you know, some other youth product or whoever else. That's where, and to keep that team competitive, you need those guys at the back. You need those leaders. You need those guys that know what it means to play on this stage.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to reiterate, too, one thing that you said that I couldn't agree with more when it comes to Hummels when comparing him to Matic. I think both of their games, they age like wine. They are not... they're not relying on speed, on pace. They're not relying necessarily on, you know, some fantastic dribbling ability or something. Their game, the way they play, it's very physical, but it's not too taxing on them. I think Hummels can do much, as you said, just like Matic. I mean, Matic, it seemed, played every waking second
it was
of that season.
Unbelievable. Incredible. Started off rough, and then once he got that mojo, once he asserted himself as the leader, once he became pivotal to how the team functioned, he was unstoppable.
He really was, and frankly, I think we can admit there was a very clear a very clear hole with him having gone, at least in yes, Paredes, he came in, he did well, particularly under De Rossi, but under Jose Mourinho, he did not start well. He was very, very poor. And it was very clear you had lost something important in the middle of the pitch with the physicality he brought, the experience. So I think Hummels can bring something akin to that, obviously, in a different department. All right, let's leave it there. International break this weekend, so should we say enjoy it and relax? I know we hate the international break, but the market is over.
Well, yes, but already we got the wonderful news that Artem Dovbyk hurt himself.
Well, that's
while away on internet. Well, not really while away. He hurt himself during the Juve match, and he's not fit enough to train with Ukraine, so he's going back to Roma, and he's gonna try and recover for the match against Genoa. So as always, with Roma and with the international break, we have to be careful. There is a lot of players out there in the world playing and representing their countries that then have to go back to Roma. And it's always very worrisome, especially this early on in the season, because you really want to have everybody in shape, ready to go. And so these 2 weeks are, in my opinion, will be nerve-wracking for someone like De Rossi, who's been basically left with, yes, with Hermoso, Hummels, Cristante, Mancini, and El Shaarawy. That's about it. That's the whole training group.
Yeah, it's not historically, international breaks have very rarely been kind to Roma, but we won't say anything further as to potentially, give any forces any more reason to give another injury, unforeseen injury to Roma. But listen, no match this weekend. Plus, the window is now shut. We can take it. We can accept it. So stop going to, all of these obscure websites, trying to find all of the rumors and then coming into the group chat asking which one is true. I don't know. Come on.
And we'll see more rumors in January. Until then, please.
No, I was just about to say.
Let's just rest.
There has to be a moratorium. I can't be doing January transfer market stuff in October. So only 1 month of rest from this stuff? Please, no. If we can all collectively agree to just stop this until December. I will even take mid-November. Just please. 1 full month. At minimum, preferably 2. November, okay. You want to start putting in some of the ingredients, heating up the water. Okay, fine. But I'm not doing this.
Sure.
In late September, where they're saying, oh, did you see they're talking about this name coming in January? Sure. could it be possible? I don't know, man. It's still summer out.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, the less we speak to agents, the better. We will leave it there. Until next time, ciao.